I'm John Travis, and today I'm with Doug Roy, who is the Director of Operations for all of us here on the paint side of our business, and looking forward to the opportunity to talk to Doug about his life growing up and how he got into this business. So, Doug, welcome.
Well, thank you for being here.
And I thought we'd start. Not everybody knows. So what was your background growing up? Where'd you go to school? I think a lot of people know that, but yeah. They may not.
No, I was born and raised here in San Antonio. Went to MacArthur High School. Went to Texas A&M. Studied architecture while I was there. And then a couple things took a different turn while I was there and decided to go into painting, of all things.
So, what about family?
I'm basically the oldest of two children. I've got a younger sister that lives here in town as well and all that. And then married Kimberly Roy back in 1993, and we've got two kids, both of which happened to work here at this time.
How did you get into, so from an architecture degree, how did you end up being a commercial paint contractor?
Well, while I was over at A&M, I was told to obviously try to get an internship. And then in the summers, at that time in the late 80s, there wasn't a whole lot of positions available because we're coming out of a recession at the time. And so somebody told me, well, if you can't get into that side of it, why don't you just get into any kind of construction you can get in, period. And so at the time, my mom happened to work for a outfit here in town that did a bunch of different work on bases and things like that, and knew a couple of contractors. And next thing you know, I was working for an outfit called Bill Cox Construction. And so I was a day laborer, basically. Learned how to do demo and get my hands dirty and do all that, and worked on that. But my intent at the time was still to go architecture, but it didn't quite go down the way I had planned because the following summer had the same issue. Still couldn't get a decent internship at the time. And then, but Bill was a little bit, or wasn't hiring at the time. So we ended up going into, or mom introduced me to a different contractor who happened to do painting, an outfit called Lauderdale Painting. So I ended up doing the same type of field work during that summer, but Lauderdale was also an Aggie, and Craig actually offered me a spot to come back and work for him as soon as I graduated from A&M. And so I decided, hey, I may want to go that route instead. You know, I've already got something set up, especially since it didn't look like architecture was going to work out. And nor did I want to do another 2 years of grad school, and not to mention all the other fun stuff that the architects need to do to become certified. So at that time, I was already thinking about getting married.
When you left Aggieland, mm-hmm. then you went back to work for Lauderdale?
Yes. So I was offered a full-time position, kind of as a like a project manager of sorts. And at the time, got to do a lot of health and medical type projects over in the medical center, a little bit of stuff on the bases. I did some work over at Southwest Research, things like that, and was working there for about almost 2 years when I got an opportunity to jump ship and go work for another paint contractor, Tony McComas, who owned Color Tech Painting at the time. Tony was actually looking for an estimator, and I hadn't really done a whole lot of estimating yet and decided that'd be a good change of pace to see what that side of the business was like. And so I went from running field crews to sitting in the office and crunching numbers and looking at plans, which is actually something that I was pretty good at simply because I'd done so much architecture in the past. I understood how to read the plans better, and it didn't take a whole lot of brain power to change from one field to the other as far as doing that in the office. And so I worked for Tony for almost about 5-6 years, I guess, and then he gave me the opportunity to buy him out at the time. And so I took the opportunity to do that. So in 2000, I bought him out and was basically now owner as well as estimator and project manager and everything that went with that. And so proceeded to do that for about another 3 or 4 years, and then just things kind of took a turn. You know, 9/11 had happened by that point, and the economy was kind of up and down. And unfortunately, I wasn't quite ready and fully equipped to handle everything that came my way. So ended up having to basically shut my doors. But that's about the time you and I met. And so it was one door opens, one door closes, another door opens. And so here we are.
I think it was – You and I met, it was Art Genis, wasn't it?
Art Genis. Actually, the funny thing is Art Genis was instrumental in multiple things with me because he's the gentleman that got me introduced to Tony to become his Tony's estimator in the first place.
So he's like the kingmaker in the background.
Back in the background, back in the good old ICI DeVo days.
He was always telling me, so this is probably like 2000, 2001, you know, you got to go know this guy. You got to come meet this guy, Doug. Y'all could really help each other. And, you know, you're just doing the next thing every day. You're like, I'll get to that. And then finally at the end, I think he gave me a call or something like that. And I reached out to you. And that was December of 03?
December of 03. Yeah, that's about the time that things started to kind of head that way. Yep, and then I think you and I got together because I got into a bind on a job, and you came over to assist. And I remember going to the Whataburger restaurant over there at Calabria in 1604, and you did one of your things that I became a trademark down the road that I always see you do is you whip out a napkin and take a pen from your pocket and you start doodling and showing the different ideas that you had. And that's the first time I got a taste of John's doodles. And all that, but I realized it was important to hold on to all those little scraps because that was the thoughts we needed to work off of later on.
They end up being bullet points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still find a lot of those. So at the beginning, though, in 7 years, you went from architecture degree to day laborer to project manager to estimator to owner. I mean, that's a fast curve. In that, what was the biggest learning thing or, what was the thing that was, I don't want to say a culture shock in learning those different items, but maybe what was the biggest thing, I guess, that impacted you in that arc?
Probably learning how to manage people day to day, because obviously we're very labor-driven type of work and therefore dealing with all the ins and outs of everything that happens with the guys, with the contractors, learning how to deal with contractors directly and how to help solve their problems and make things happen. That was probably something that you just can't get anywhere else unless you're on the job training on that. College can prepare you to a certain degree, but not to the full extent that you need to do. And that's just basically on the job training.
I felt like in school too, for me, I don't know about how about for you, but I wish they'd had a class on setting expectations. You know, when it comes to managing people or, as you mentioned, customers, contractors, owners, just seems like much of what we do is setting the expectation of what's expected or what we can or can't do. And I felt like, for me, I had to learn all that on the fly. Similar experience?
I would say very similar experience on that.
Well, so then we hooked up together and take it from there. What was that like?
Oh, wow. So, well, for initially, it was a great sense of relief simply because it was one of those situations where you never want to have to go through a thing like that, like a bankruptcy. But I was allowed to come over here and get started. We were able to salvage several contracts with good clients that I really cared a lot about, and I wanted to make sure those projects got completed. And they, to their credit, asked us to work together to make that happen, and we were able to salvage quite a few things. You had a spot for all my guys to come over here at the time, which is another big thing that was a concern at the time. And we were able to hire most of those guys because we needed them to go finish those other projects. And it was kind of fun trying to figure out how to incorporate my guys with the guys that were already here and because it's old guard versus the new folks and just having to integrate everybody and learn everybody's idiosyncrasies in terms of how they operated and learning how I operate and things of that nature. So it was somewhat of a challenge, but at the same time it was interesting. And now I've got lifelong friends that were here when I came here and are still here today. So
it is about the relationships. So
it
I think
is.
Back to that time, and it's crazy. What I remember is the people. So there was Daryl at Bartlett, and we were finishing something that you had with him, Rick at Keller Martin. I think Pete went over and finished something that he had, and there were others.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember the names and the faces, and a lot of them, to your point, is 20-some years later almost, and still the same folks, or many of them. Mm-hmm. A lot have retired since then. So since you came over, how have we grown together then, like the company and in your role? Is it different, same?
It's different from the standpoint I don't have to, you know, from an owner to an operations manager standpoint, I don't have to worry as much to the extent that you obviously have to on every little thing that happens with the company. It was nice to have a pretty good support system. Like, the estimating was all being handled already. Neil's done a phenomenal job on that, and it's been fun to watch him add on to that department as we've grown. Basically, accounting, we've had different folks in and out of there, but we've got some really good accounting folks. And from going through all the headaches I had at Color Tech, it was nice to have that extra backup. It seemed like we were a much bigger team here, and therefore it was a little easier to get that done. And then I could focus on the part that I initially didn't know I was going to like as much as I did, but I do like doing the operations side of it. It's fun. It's something different every day. It's a challenge. It can be a challenge every day. It's got its ups and its downs, but it is what it is. And it's never a dull moment. There's always something.
Every day is a new day to pick up our battle axe and go hack our way through the forest.
Exactly. But, over time you start thinking about it, and a lot of the stuff we've seen, it's very rarely do you come across something brand new.
It's true.
It's the point now where we've got that experience between the two of us. We've probably seen most situations, and we've had to deal with them and find out the best way to do it, and sometimes not the best way to do it, but we work it out and we figure it out. And so when things happen, I don't have that knee jerk, oh no, I got to fix it like right away, or there's better ways or better methods to go about fixing certain things. So,
and we were talking yesterday, actually. We both went to a site earlier this week. I actually felt that then, in that it was a rather large project, a lot of hair on it, difficult. But there is a piece when you walk in of like, we know how to do this. You know, we're going to do it this way, or this is what we'd prefer. We know how to get you from here to there. We can solve your problem. And there is a piece in that I think maybe at this point sometimes I may take for granted. Because as I'm around other people who aren't used to that or don't have that experience, their response is very different. So it is a blessing to be able to walk into a lot of these and understand it. And I wouldn't say that it's easy, but you know how it ought to go.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, though, on this, though, I do think, though, with that, my patience level as I get older, because you know how they should go,
right?
And you know what it should look like. And you've got to get everybody on the team. That may include other trades. That may include the contractor. And sometimes you're in opposition because you may have a better way or know how to do it more than they do. And yet you've got to get everybody on the same team to move forward. And sometimes it's the opposite. They got a better way.
Mm-hmm.
But I get frustrated sometimes when I'm like, we need to go left to right. And you're going right to left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Same thing in educating some of our guys. Mm-hmm. So how have you grown in the last, since we've been together almost 20 years now, how have you personally grown?
Oh, I guess obviously being here has allowed me, and taking some of the stress out of ownership, going back in time, I've been able to spend much more time with the family than I originally thought I was going to have to. Because as you know, in your own life, having to wear the owner hat along with dealing with all the other things with being a family man and everything else that you've got to do, it's hard to make the time for the family at times. And by having that support system here, having not to worry about the day-to-day stuff, but a smaller piece of the pie, I've been able to focus more on the family. And I've had obviously a really good relationship with my kids and my wife, and it's been very solid, especially after it was a real rocky period there when we went through the bankruptcy. But we all are better for it, and here we are. And I wouldn't trade any of that for anything, because it's made me who I am, and I wouldn't trade that at all. So I've learned not to. It can be very dark at times, but there's always going to be light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully it's not a train coming at you, but for the most part, it works out. So
this too shall pass.
Yes, yes.
What do you like best now? So this season of life, this moment in this role, being here, the opportunities, what do you value most?
Realizing that I've been here long enough now that suddenly I've become the go-to guy or when people have a question on painting. And I remember thinking, why are you asking me? Because I don't know all this stuff that well. But then suddenly, because I've experienced all this over the years, I'm a walking, talking encyclopedia. And I get a kick out of getting these random phone calls from people that we work with and other contractors and things. Hey, I'm painting my house. I've got this situation. What do I do? And then immediately, without having to think hard, very hard about it, I can run them through the steps on how to take care of it and go do this and go do that. And then I'll invariably get a follow-up phone call. Hey, what about this? And just knowing it right off the top of my head versus, you know, having to learn it back in the day when I didn't know. And I remember having that deer in the headlight look. If I'd ever get those calls in the past, I'd have to go like, well, let me look into this and I'll have to get back to you after I've researched it a little more. But now just knowing that I know what I know and then learning to just deal with any situation as it comes up. Try not to panic out of the gate and just kind of take it one step at a time and break it down into smaller parts and figure out how to solve the problem. So
that is true. I even call you. I'll be on a job or whatever. Somebody will call me and I'll be like, I don't know. Give me 5 minutes. I'll call you right back.
Well, and another aspect of that, it's been fun because now I can mentor a little bit. And so when my son was going through college here recently at A&M and he was going through the construction science department over there, he realized some of the stuff I've been teaching him was starting to make more sense as he went through.
The old man is actually applicable.
Right. And he would come back and tell me stories about how some of these folks just haven't been in the field yet, so they don't understand it yet. And so, you know, everybody thinks they can pick up a paintbrush and paint, which is somewhat true, but there's certain technologies and sciences behind it that you've got to make sure you do it the proper way.
The technique
and the prep and everything is very important. If you don't do that right, it's not going to work out in the long run. And so it's been fun to kind of get to the point now where some of the newer folks that are coming up, some of the new general contractors out there, or some of the new assistant PMs and things like that may have a question, and I don't mind answering those questions and kind of explaining why we do what we do and how we go about the process. You know, what is a drywall paint? What is an epoxy? What makes one different than the other? That kind of thing, and just taking a little more time because I figure if they know a little more, they'll be more. They'll be more proficient on the next job because they already understand the process a little bit better and make them better project managers as a result. So
how do you unwind? I mean, sometimes this job can be hard. we run on deadlines.
A couple of different ways. Obviously, I didn't think I'd still be gaming at my age. I'm going to be 52 this year. I do like online gaming. That's partially as a result of kind of getting into, you know, well, mainly COVID recently, with folks not being able to get out and do things. My son's gaming group kind of got me integrated into their little group, and next thing you know, I've become Papa Dragon, and I'm with them in terms of being able to play. And they don't hesitate to call me even if David's not around now to, hey, do you want to get on and play with us and that kind of thing. And so that's kind of fun. So it's a nice little decompression thing, but I do like to play racquetball. That's something I learned back in high school and have never stopped playing and enjoy. It's a good cardio workout, and trust me, you need it, as you know, when we climb these stairs on some of these office high-rises. You can get out of breath pretty quick if you're not in shape. And then obviously got a big prayer life. I'm Catholic, so I attend Mass on a weekly basis and listen to a lot of Catholic radio and things of that nature. It's part of my DNA, and that's kind of how I deal with it. So, and then occasionally the wife and I like to go up to Fredericksburg and go do the wine tasting and things like that. So,
what do you think's next for you as you continue to evolve in this role that you're doing? As we continue to build projects and solve customers' problems, what is your focus maybe for the next year, 2 years? Things that you're trying to do as you continue even now to improve yourself and others. You talked about building up people. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Biggest thing I've got right now is training up the next generation. I mean, we've got some new folks coming in. Obviously, David, my son, has decided he wanted to come work for us. And as he's hung around me long enough and spent enough summers with us, he's spent his time in the field, and now he's ready to come into the office and start helping out there. And so I'm enjoying mentoring him and doing it. It's weird. I don't think either one of us really thought we'd ever have each other or work with each other like that. But because we have such a connection on that, it's actually real easy for us to understand. It's easy for me to impart my knowledge, and he's gotten to the point where he's very good at receiving it without being a little overly sarcastic, which he can be at times. But he's actually learning it and enjoying learning it, and I like watching him grow because I can pop quiz him now and ask him, what would you do in this situation? And he would sit there, and he would get, you know, he's getting very good at getting most of the steps down on how best to handle it. Or sometimes he'll come up with a solution that I didn't think of. And so that's good because, you know, while I'm an old codger at times, I don't need to be set in my ways completely. I mean, there's always a better way to do things. And if he's the new younger generation with it's a little more technologically savvy than I am, then maybe I could learn something from him just as much as he can learn something from me.
Best idea wins.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you for taking time to talk about yourself and your role here. I'd like to ask, as you reach back into time now, 30-some years to when you were starting out, for those that are just now thinking about the business or getting into the business, mm-hmm. For the wonderful craftspeople that we have an opportunity to work with, for anyone, whatever their role might be, what advice, what thought, parting thought might you have to some 17, 16-year-old man or woman that's thinking about getting into construction or the paint contracting business?
Oh, I think in construction in general, I think if as long as you can get into, do anything you can do. Because like I said, in the beginning, I had no aspirations to be a painting contractor. That wasn't even on the radar. It wasn't a blip. You know, I just thought I'd become an architect and I would design buildings until I got into the nuts and bolts of that and realized that while I could do it, and I probably would have been okay at it, it wasn't a passion. I didn't have a passion for it. And then, you know, if you can, go expose yourself to the construction industry in general. I mean, you may not get your dream job right out of the gate, but at least go get your feet wet. Go figure out what else is out there, and then you may find a different avenue, a different approach to what you thought you wanted to go. And you never know where the horizons will lead if that happens.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to listen to more of our episodes, please check out our archives at traviscompanies.com/podcasts. We release a new episode every week. Next week, we're going to be answering the question, how did it all start? Thanks for listening.